ABC Sport.
End of the over.
Bowls are flicked off.
We're heading off for a refreshment and a meat pie.
And that ends the morning session.
That is lunch.
You're listening to Grandstand at Lunch.
On your radio.
ABC Sport Digital.
And take us with you on the ABC Listen app.
Day three at the Adelaide Oval, and England playing not just to hang in the test match, but to hang in the series. They resumed 8 for 213. Ben Stokes was 45, not out, and he did manage to bring up a very patient half century.
Bolins pushed away by Stokes for a single, just running it down behind point. And his half century comes up. A doughty, dogged half century from the England captain has kept England alive here.
At 159 balls, it was the slowest half century of the baseball era. Half centuries weren't done there. Jofra Archer joined in the party for the first time at Test level.
Cummins runs in a bowl to Archer, who slides it away off a thickish edge. There's his first Test half century, and how well he has played. He's done more than simply support Stokes here. He's done his bit.
Ben Stokes got the deficit down to double digits, but not much further.
Here is Stark, left arm over, and he's got him! He has bowled Stokes. Off stump, knocked back. Stokes is so frustrated. A brilliant partnership comes to an end. Stark with the new ball, gets his man. And England are 9 down with 274 on the board, trailing by 97. Stokes out for a very well-made, well-worked, hard-earned 83 from 198 balls.
Archer the last man out for 51. England all out 286. So on day three, they did manage to get the deficit down from 158 to 85 by the time the Australians started batting for a second time. And unfortunately for Jake Weatherall, the adopted South Australian, he didn't last long.
Cast comes in and bowls to him, and he's put it on the bat. That's a big shout for LBW. He's out. He's out, LBW. Just as Phil Tufnell suggested, and he wants to go, but his mate Travis Head's coming over and saying, "But you might not think about reviewing that. We've got a few reviews in the bank." No, he's not going to do it.
No, great start for England.
Turned out to be pitching outside leg. He should have reviewed in the end. Weatherald had to go for one. Manus Labuschagne and Travis Head got the Aussies through to the lunch break. 1 for 17. And the lead is 102. So make that essentially 1 for 102. The Australians at the lunch break on day three. My name's Corbin Middlemass. Alongside me, former Australian coach and cricketer, a man who scored 25,000 first-class runs at a better average than everybody in history that reached that milestone, except Don Bradman and Sachin Tendulkar. It's nice company. Darren Lehman's here. Hello, both.
Hello, Corbin. What a session it was. It was a decent session for England, really. Got a wicket. They need to get 5 or 6 in the second session, but good test match.
Another favourite son of South Australia is sitting alongside you. You were coach and captain for a period of time at this great state of South Australia, the team I still known as the Redbacks, even though they've decided to do away with the moniker. He played 27 tests for Australia, 48 one-day internationals. He's a very funny man, an entertaining character. And so we thought we'd get him on during the lunch break. His name is Wayne Phillips. Wayne, appreciate your time.
No troubles at all, Corbin. G'day, Buffy. How are you? Yeah, this is just glorious, sitting up here and having you guys back here at Phillips Field. I mean, it is just a beautiful location. And, yeah, the people are here enjoying same. And, yeah, it is just wonderful. And, yeah, evenly placed the match. Buff, of course, you mentioned about his stats. I mean, 56 on test debut. Incredible. 103 less than I got. And, you know, so, yeah, our relationship has just been terrific, and we've enjoyed it as we always do. So, yeah, great to catch up.
It is great to have Flipper. I mean, his daughter was a nanny for us, for the twins, for a long period of time. And Flip is comfortably the tightest person I've ever come across. And, Flip, how did you arrive at the ground?
Well, I rode my 49cc Kimco scooter and just parked it in a fairly...
inappropriate spot?
Well, it's fairly close to the gates. Yeah, don't worry. You need to maybe you have a particular authority to park in those spots. But, yeah, that's fine. But, no, you're saying I'm tight. And just with the price of fuel, it cost me $7 to fill it this week.
Jeez.
My scooter.
Yeah,
yeah,
really?
Oh, savage.
Did you do the can, return the cans first?
Yeah, get the cans, get the money. And yeah, 10 cents each. They're good value, those empty, aren't they? Yeah, but you don't do them, Corp?
No.
Right,
no, no,
okay,
no.
Good.
$159 on debut, you mentioned a 14th player to get there for Australia to score a century on debut against Pakistan.
Correct.
Do you speak about it much? Get asked about it often?
I speak about it quite a bit. yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, yeah, Jofra Archer, just incredible. You know, his first 50, but off 159 balls. I mean, you know, it just keeps presenting itself all to every opportunity, and then I go back to it and relive it. I mean, you look at that Pakistan side when I made my debut. You look at it, you know, Imran Khan, Safraz Nawaz, Wasim Akram, none of them who played in the game, but but around that time that they had them was just so to be a part of it and to get those runs, and yeah, it's been pretty special. Obviously, yes.
Did you have the mullet in those days?
Yes.
So why have you not changed?
I set the fashions. I don't follow them. And it's been, you know, I still go to the Temple of Fashion and get it done. Yeah, Mick down on Winston Avenue, and he looks after it pretty well.
How do you pay for it?
Look, we're pretty good. We're okay. It's all right. I mean, if I give him a plug, he's pretty bloody happy with that. He's right. It's all good.
It's great loyalty. Have you ever come close to mixing it up or losing the mullet?
People have asked, you know, if there's a fundraiser, a charity fundraiser. Yeah. And you know, I asked them what the charity is, and it's been not for me. So I then neglect to run through it. Yeah, not for me. But it's, I don't know. It's some stage it'll go, but now as a grandfather, it'll be and my grandfather, what's your grandfather's name, Buffy?
Pop. I'm
you're
Pop,
are you?
Yeah, what
okay.
are you? Tight.
Not tight, no, I'm Ted.
Starts with a T.
Ted, yes. Close. Yeah, when I found out Abby, our eldest daughter, was pregnant, I was excited. at the end of the pregnancy, I was exhausted. You look at my cricket career, I was obviously gift Ted. And with a wife, two daughters and five grandkids, I'm financially rooted. So I'm Ted, and it's just...
Wayne Phillips, one of South Australia's favourite son, with us in the commentary box.
How do you reckon we went as Captain Coach? We had some amazing victories. We had some bad defeats, though.
I was about to say, explain to me the day where the team was rolled relatively cheaply and the conversation when the captain's called the coach and Darren Lehman's rung through to talk about what's happened in the Shield team. I take it he's not playing in that particular game?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. But look, the game was... It was just amazing, the situation. I mean, our preparation for that game against New South Wales in Sydney had never been better. You know, we had two guys in the side who'd never been to the Sydney cricket ground before. Callum Ferguson and Tommy Plant, never been to the ground. So, you know, we went down into the room so they knew where their locker was and knew where they'd sit. We had vision of their pace bowlers and knew when they got tired where they bowl, vision above, vision behind, all that sort of thing. We knew with their batsmen where we could set up, you know, everything. And it was just, I'd never be more confident. And ball tossed up, beautiful day like it is here today in Adelaide, and we won the toss, elected to bat, and things were going beautifully until the third ball of the innings, and we lost the wicket of Tommy Plant, and then it just started to go pear-shaped from there. And I remember at the start of the Nathan Bracken over, we were 7 for 24, and I thought, oh man. And then at the end of the Nathan Bracken over, we were 9 for 24, and if it wasn't for really good partnership between Dan Cullen and Paul Roaf of five, we wouldn't have looked like making 29. But that's what, and in first class cricket, that's poop. I mean, it really is. I remember late on day one, I was just watching the day, and you know, ball got tipped. Phil Jarks turned one off his hip down the fine leg for a single to bring up his 200. And I thought, oh dear, this is not going to be good. And then there was the situation. I was about to speak to the players. You know, you got to come up with something positive. And there was a knock on our door. David Gilbert, Chief Executive Cricket New South Wales, and opened the door. Flipper, how's your day going? How do you reckon my day's going? What do you, you know? Well, we've got a bit of an issue. I said, what's that? I said, well, the guys from ASDA are here, the Australian Sports Drug Agency. They're here to test your players for performance-enhancing substances. Yeah, I said, well, we made 29. Do you think that's necessary? And, yeah, we got the results back negative. And, you know, so I was pretty happy with that. But later that night, I mean, you know, my captain who's away, you know, gallivanting around with the national team. Sorry about that. Hope it goes well for you. Yeah, no worries, Bob. I'll talk to you a bit later. And he's obviously looking on his little laptop and... he looks at it and he said, what's going on? I see, gee whiz, New South Wales are going well. What? There's only 63 overs, Bob. What did it rain or something there? I said, just get your finger and scroll down on the and well, I can't say exactly what he said, but... oh, good. Yeah. Okay, see you, Bob. Thanks for the call. And that was the end of that.
And did you the best... you had to give the players something... good at the end, didn't you?
But positive. Yeah, at the day. And you know, that's what you've got to do. At the end of a bad day, you've got to come up with something positive. And yeah, look. Hey, boys, look, I've been involved in first-class cricket for a long time, and I'm positive. That's the worst effing batting that I have ever seen. So, yeah, I don't do the job. But people ask what success I had coaching. I had South Australia in the top six each year of the show. You know, so it's a pretty, you know, it's a, you know, you taught the AFL guys. So, wow, that is good shooting. Yeah, that sort of thing. So,
I noticed the Sheffield Shield Trophy is here today, actually, yes, on the village screen. You can get a photo of it.
And get close to it. It's a terrific win down there. I mean, yeah, it was. They played it there at Carrumrolt Oval. I've only been to that ground once. So yeah, they let me. Yeah, there's a very very proud SACA member, and you know, I got invited to it for the naming of the. You know, just incredible. Yeah. I said, who's it being named after? They said, it's a fantastic left-handed opening bat who played for South Australia and Australia with distinction. And, you know, I went to the ground and I had a jacket and tie on and some notes and, yeah, Karen Rowland. I haven't been back since. Yeah.
Wayne Phillips with us, Grandstand at Lunch on ABC Sport. Wayne, tell us about your work for the ACA. So you're still involved in cricket through the ACA?
Very much so, yeah. And it's such an important role. I mean, what we can do, what we need to do, and what it does, the organisation. The membership is open to those who have played first-class cricket, male or female. And look, we look after, we can help with health, we can family, with contact, with meals, with, you know, just to make sure that there is support available for these people. We've got our function here tomorrow in the Gil Langley Room, and our numbers are just fantastic. And so lucky with the commentary teams for all of the various sources, but there's quite so many of South Australian players who are entitled to be members, who are members, and they'll sneak in and just say good day to their mates and awesome. Do that. But one of the great stories, it was a lady who'd played one game for Victoria back in the 1940s, and you know, and it was on my call list to give her a ring. It was just, is Alice available? And someone answered the phone, no, she's not Wayne. And she's, you know, it's Wayne Phillips from the ACA. And we're just trying, oh, look, she'd love your call, but she provides some care for an older lady here at the resort at the retirement village. So she's 84 looking after someone else. An elderly lady, you know, and we can write a check to make sure it goes. So, the right course.
I think that's the other thing worth pointing out. So, if Australian Cricket Association, obviously looking after former cricketers, so if there are people out there that are, you know, former players, perhaps don't realise that those services are available to them.
Yeah, and they're quite entitled to the membership. And annual fee is not ridiculous at all, but it comes with, and, you know, it's part of the new MOUs that have been done with the organisation and with Cricket Australia, and that funding comes from the current players. It comes out of their pockets. They know about it, and, you know, just what it's like for them to be able to have this support and be a part of the game and be welcome at various functions, and you know, having these functions at these sorts of events, the test matches, just brilliant.
On a serious note, you and I don't talk too seriously.
No, I never have. Yeah, I'm nervous. What's going on? Yeah, you need some money?
Well, if I've got money off you, I'm all over. But the ACA, what do you see the biggest issue for the Players Association or players in general of this generation moving forward?
I think without doubt the biggest issue they have is when they stop playing. And what they've got, have they got something in place? Have they done some studies? Do they want to do something? Yes, they might be financially sound, But you need to be doing something, make sure that you're active with it to keep yourself alert. Is it this? Is it that? Is it that? Do you want to study? Do you want to go and get a license to do something? Do you want to start to do the, you know, it's not the necessarily the, you know, the speaking gigs. There's not that many available. It's not working in the media. But yes, that's great if you can. But all of these things that the support, and it's just so important, there's study available that you dipped your toe in while you're at school. You stop that when, you know, as you did.
I stopped early.
First year high. But, you know, then to go back and study and then to do some and have that support available so you can, and then grab it and go with that and just know the ACA is going to support it.
And how is retirement going for you as such?
Well, I'm a bit too busy to retire. I'm just so popular and, you know, they just want me to do things all the time. Yeah, so I just haven't got...
Have you been busy this week?
Yes.
Officially or unofficially?
I don't know how to answer that.
Wayne, appreciate your time. You're such great company whenever we have you on ABC Radio. Thanks heaps for stopping by for a chat. Enjoy the rest of the Test match and welcome back anytime.
We're going to do that. And, yeah, let's hope the Aussies can put that title up against the Englishmen. Englishmen chase hard and then just devastatingly lose the game in the Ashes. Oh, what a great place this is.
I'll buy you a beer.
Happy to. I'll wait patiently.
Wayne Phillips, former Australian cricketer, alongside Darren Lehman. This is Grandstand at Lunch on ABC Sport. Just repeating the lunch score, 1 for 17, the Aussies effectively 1 for 102. That's the lead in the Test match lunch on day 3. Now from Wayne Phillips, former Australian cricketer, to an Olympic champion, Kyle Chalmers, with our own Ben Cameron. Ben.
Well, Kyle Chalmers is a 9-time Olympic medalist, including a gold medal, 7 times a Commonwealth Games gold medalist and owns 6 world titles. It's a heck of a record. He joins us on Grandstand Cricket on ABC Sport. Thanks for your time, Cole. How are you enjoying the cricket?
It's so good. I love my cricket. So to be able to actually be here live, normally it doesn't fit into the schedule. So to be here for a whole day, super excited about that.
We've heard a lot about your footy prowess. There were stories about you considering being a Cap B rookie for Port Adelaide. What was your cricket like? Did you play it?
Yeah, I gave it a go. I grew up in a country town, so you got to try everything over there. But I was an awful cricketer, so was never going to get anywhere in my cricket.
You are pretty proud of your country town and speak about it a lot and still have a strong connection to it. What was it like growing up there and playing cricket, footy, swimming?
Yeah, I did it all. Indoor soccer, tennis, athletics, kind of tried everything. But cricket was probably one of my worst ones. One that I loved so much. Like, I loved nothing more than watching Test cricket growing up and getting out there and giving it a go. And even once I'd stopped playing cricket, spent a lot of time in the nets with my brother. But growing up in a country town's the best. You get so much opportunity to play different sports and kind of try and find your path in sport. So swimming ended up taking over, but I love being a fan of professional sport.
What did you do? Were you a batter, a bowler, all-rounder?
I was a bowler, probably. I remember making 3 ducks in a row in cricket, so it was pretty dismal cricket. Batting performance, sorry, every week going out there and making 0, but... yeah, it was good fun.
Oh, I can certainly imagine you as a quick, big, strong, fast bowler, not so much a batsman. Where are you at the moment with your swimming? Obviously, we're sort of in between Olympic cycles, so to speak.
We are, but there's always something with swimming which is exciting. Like, we've got Commonwealth Games next year in Glasgow. There's a World Championships in the off years, so there's always something to look forward to and train for. So next year, Commonwealth Games in Glasgow is what I'm training for, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's always good fun representing a country at a multi-sport game, so to be able to head over there hopefully is the big goal, and then start prepping for the LA Olympics.
It is interesting. I mean, you mentioned you've got the Com Games coming up and we're always looking at the Olympic cycles. How do you go in between in terms of staying motivated and looking at the black line every day and just waiting for the next big event to come around?
I love it, and yes, I think it seems like that maybe from an outsider looking in that just watches the Olympics and... But there's so much that goes into it in the 4 years in the lead up to that. It's not just the 47 seconds we race for. So for me, I love my sport. I've had so many great opportunities. I get to spend most of my year overseas racing at competitions and meeting new people or exposing myself to different cultures. So I'm very grateful for the opportunities that swimming's given me. And it's, I think, very easy to stay motivated when there's always something to look forward to.
So we read the stories about you considering retirement. You've then decided not to. You've got the goal of going to the next Olympics with your soon-to-be wife, when your child can watch you both compete, and possibly even Brisbane, a home Olympics. How did all of that play out and the change of heart?
I think for me, I've been able to now achieve every title that the 100 freestyle has to offer. So the pressure and expectations off of me are quite a lot now. It's just actually enjoying swimming, and the rest of it's just the icing on the cake. And I do love my sport a lot. I really want to have success in the relays, so that's motivating me a lot. The 50 butterflies now coming into the Olympics, which is probably my very best event, so it gives me a different sort of something to train for, and obviously also doing it with my very soon-to-be wife. We're 2 weeks away from getting married, so being able to hopefully qualify for that Olympics together and have our daughter in the stands is something that's going to be very special as well.
I want to pick up on the family element in a moment, but I think it's fascinating something you just spoke about there, where you know you won an Olympic gold at such a young age. It was a little bit of a surprise at the time. You could look at that one of two ways. Either you know you've got to live up to that moving forward, or it relieves all pressure and you're playing with house money, so to speak. It's an interesting idea to explore.
It is, but it took me 10 years to get to the point of being able to win at Commonwealth Games, win at Pan Pacs, win World Short Course, win at World Long Course Championships. So it did take a long time to get to the point of the pressure being taken away. Like, I think after winning at such a young age, there's so much pressure and expectation for you to do it again, so you're not that one-hit wonder. So it did take a little while to get to that point. And I think 2023, when I was able to win at World Championships and then I went on to win another silver at the Olympics, yeah, I feel that the pressure is now on the younger guys that are starting to come through that are 10 years younger than me. So I'm still loving it and still having some success, which is really nice.
How is fatherhood treating you?
It's the greatest thing ever. Like, yeah, I've got a new appreciation for being tired and being busy, but being able to wake up in the morning and just interact with your daughter and come home from training, even if you've had the worst session, like she's there waiting to she has no idea what's going on. She's only 4 months old, but just the smiles, and she's starting to try and make some like talking noises, and yeah, I love it so much. It's actually really weird being away from her because I spend pretty well 24/7 together.
I've got a three-month-old, and I've been saying you never realise you've actually been tired before in your life until you're actually tired with a newborn. That's a different kind of tired, no doubt about that. You and your soon-to-be wife training together, the bub in the pram outside of the pool. How does all of that work?
Yeah, she was in the pram for the first month of her life while we were training, and my coach is amazing, Sean Curtis, and he was very great at kind of watching over Astrid, and if she started to cry, getting one of us out of the pool to look after her. She's now in the creche, which makes it a whole lot easier because it's a little bit distracting having her on pool deck, but Astrid's such a star and has been amazing since day one and been at the pool pretty much since the first day of her life, so she knows nothing different at this stage.
Could be an absolute swimming freak too, given the two parents. So have you put her in the water yet?
We have. We're lucky to have a pool at home, so she's been jumping in the pool with us every night, which she absolutely loves.
What are your plans for 2026?
Commonwealth Games. Getting married at the start of 2026 as well, January 3rd. So got a few big things. Astrid's christening is going to be big, but Commonwealth Games is the big focus in the pool.
So you got a bit of a drive, I believe, as well, through some country towns. Is that coming up at the back end of this year?
I have actually just done that. So I made my way to Canberra to try and get a Norwegian passport for my daughter at the Norwegian embassy. So we're in the process of that. And we stopped through quite a few country towns on the way to coach and then on the way home as well. So I think we did 10 different clinics through our Chalmers Swim Academy. So coach probably 300 kids through that time, which is quite hectic when they're all in the pool sort of thing. But again, it's something that I'm really passionate about and loving.
I thought you were about to do it. I was going to tell you to keep it locked to ABC Sport and listen to all of the cricket coverage, but not to be. We've loved watching you swim for a long period of time and broadcasting it on the ABC. Best of luck. Hopefully we see you on the top of the dais once again and with a gold medal at the Olympics, maybe in LA and Brisbane, hanging around your neck.
Appreciate it. Thank you for that. And that would be the dream. It would be a good way to go out.
How good's that? The Olympic champion Cole Chalmers with us on Grandstand at Lunch, speaking with Ben Cameron. We're not too far away from the start of the second session on day three. Australia 1-17, effectively 1-102. That is the lead in the test match, with Jake Weatherall the only man out for one. Controversial dismissal given out leg before, and yet the replay showed that it was pitching outside leg. He didn't use the review that was on offer to him, and as a result, is departed for just one. Travis Head, he's not out on five, and Manus Labuschagne on four when the Australian innings resumes in about 10 minutes from now. Quick score check, New Zealand 6 for 469. Day two action at the Bay Oval in Mount Maunganui up against the West Indies. So they are going large, large there, batting first in the third test of that series. All right, stick around. Action not too far away from returning right here at Adelaide Oval. Australia 1 for 17. We'll bring it all to you in just a moment. But first, the latest from the ABC Newsroom.